Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. I'm glad you could join me tonight. I have a few things that I'd like to share with you tonight. I, as you know, been doing research every day, and I came across some stuff they did it's called Live Science, and they did some research and did some testing and did some studying on people that were bullies, victims of bullies, people that were both, bullied some people and were victims in another scenario, and they found out some interesting facts, and I want to share it with you because it, of course, coincides with everything, and I mean everything, that we talk about. The pain of bullying lasts into adulthood. Kids don't easily outgrow the pain of bullying. According to a new study that finds people bullied as kids are less mentally healthy as adults. The study is one of the first to establish long-term effects of childhood bullying, which is often still considered a typical part of growing up. To my surprise, at least, there were some very strong long-term effects on their risk for depression, anxiety, suicidality, a whole host of outcomes that we know just wreak havoc on adult lives. This is from the researcher William Copeland, a clinical psychologist at Duke University Medical Center. Previous studies have found that both bullies and their victims are at a higher risk for mental health problems and other struggles in childhood. One study presented in 2010 at the annual convention of the American Psychological Association found that bullies are at higher risk of substance abuse, depression, anxiety, and hostility, more so than non-bullies. For bully victims, being targeted can result in increased suicide risk, depression, poor school performance, and very low self-esteem. But most studies on the effects of bullying focus on the childhood period. The question for our study is what happens long term, down the road, after they're no longer being bullied and after they're no longer children. Copeland and his colleagues used data from a study begun 20 years ago, which queried 1,420 children and their parents about the general mental health beginning at age 9, 11, or 13. The kids were assessed annually up until age 16, and then they came back for follow-ups at age 19, 21, and 25. Before age 16, participants were asked whether they had been bullied or bullied others, how frequently, and where any bullying occurred, among other questions. Using this data, the researchers divided the kids into four groups: kids uninvolved in bullying, pure victims who were bullied but did not bully others, pure bullies who were never victimized themselves, and bully victims, a group of kids who both bullied and were bullied. The long-term effects, the researchers found, mental health outcomes of each group in young childhood controlling for childhood factors such as pre-existing mental health conditions, struggles with home life, and childhood anxiety levels. They found that any involvement in bullying boded poorly in adulthood. Pure bullies did not show problems with emotional functioning as adults, Copeland said, which is unsurprising, given that they had all the power in their childhood relationships. But they did show increased risk of developing antisocial personality disorder. People with this disorder have little empathy and few scruples about manipulating others for their own gain. The disorder is linked with a greater risk of becoming a criminal. Most bullies did not go on to have the disorder, Copeland said, but they were more likely to develop it than the other groups. Pure victims, on the other hand, were at a higher risk for depression, anxiety, panic attacks, agoraphobia, than kids uninvolved in the bullying, the researchers found. Worst off, this is kind of amazing, were the bully victims, who were at higher risk of every depressive and anxiety disorder. For example, pure victims were four times as likely to develop an anxiety disorder in adulthood compared with kids who were uninvolved in bullying. Bully victims had five times greater risk of the depression than the uninvolved kids, as well as 10 times the likelihood of suicidal thoughts or actions, and 15 times the likelihood of developing a panic disorder. By far, being a bully and a victim meant having the worst long-term effects, because they were able to take childhood mental health into account, the researchers are confident that the adult mental health struggles are an effect of the bullying, not a pre-existing condition that made them vulnerable to the bullies in the first place. Now, that's a real important statement. I'm going to read it one more time. Because they were able to take childhood mental health into account, the researchers are confident that the adult mental health struggles are an effect of the bullying, not pre-existing conditions that made them vulnerable to the bullies in the first place. While it is not yet clear why bullying might have such a long-term effect, it's possible that torment at school is not so dissimilar to maltreatment or abuse in the home. Kids spend a lot of time at school and surrounded by peers, he said, so it's not surprising that troubles there could have long-lasting consequences. More and more, I'm coming to the mindset that what happens to kids when they're with other kids, their peers, is as important or maybe more important than what happens at home. Now, we've said that on the show a couple different times. Now, this information, again, as I said, I research a lot, and this condensed it the best, but there's been a lot of research, there's been a lot of studies done, and the repercussions of being really tormented, not just bullied because you have red hair, not just bullied, in kindergarten and first and second grade when you kind of grow through it and forget about it. I mean intense bullying, where somebody really hurts you, where like in the movie Bully, where somebody tried to run over one of the young women with a car, where the young boy got poked, stabbed with pencils. That kind of bullying is intense enough to cause some major damage for the child that has been affected by all of that when he becomes an adult. And we've talked about this at length as well. Forgiveness is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And Shelley and I talk about forgiveness on the show all the time because forgiveness lifts you. It clears your mind and it lifts you. However, forgetting is always another story. And if something happens to you as an adult that brings back a sharp memory of somebody abusing you to that degree, things happen. There's a lot of drug abuse. There's a lot of depression, the abuse of antipsychotics when you've gone through all these different things. And there's, I mentioned it the other night, very sadly, there's a lot of kids that start hurting themselves, really hurting themselves, cutting themselves, just doing awful things to themselves because they don't, I'm not sure I'm going to say to you, I would have to think that they don't think they're worth anything. And the information that I read last week about the girls and the guys that cut themselves, that's about trying to feel a pain that they can relate to that makes them feel some emotion. So it's very thick and very convoluted. And because we're all different, it can come out in many, many different ways. So the reason I shared this with all of you is because I think that if you are with a child that is going through this, you need to give a lot of thought to how you handle them. I mean, because you've still got to teach a child right from wrong. If they've been bullied when they're 13 or 14 and you know that they've been through a tough time, it's still your job to keep them doing what's right and not what's wrong. And that becomes very difficult because our empathy, our compassion, and our love often gets in the way. So think about that. And maybe you could reach out for some help so that you can help your child. Now I want to tell you a couple good things that I found, because I like to kind of bring us back up again, because I always feel that there's hope. And I always feel that the more we talk and the more we connect, the better things will become. I saw on one site today that the Bully movie was shown at a school, and everybody was so touched by it that the teachers went out on the basketball court, the teachers, the substitute teachers, everybody. They wore shirts that said, "I see your abilities." And they were honing in on the fact that kids with disabilities get picked on first, which I'm sure is true. So they wore these T-shirts, and they started one of those flash mob dances. It was beautiful. They had the whole video on the internet, and here's all these teachers. Some of these teachers had to be way older than me, and they're all out there, and they came up with a little routine dance, and all the kids that were out there playing basketball joined in, except for some of the boys, of course, because they were a little bit too cool for it. But it was beautiful. And then they interviewed some of the kids. And I want you to hear what a 16-year-old named Megan said. And this kind of goes along with all the stuff that we talked about last night when we talked about Izzy Callen's idea of turning the tables on somebody who's bullying you. She said, "I just stare at them, look them right in the eye, let them know that they can't do anything to me now, and they know it now because they are the ones that are looking down." I loved that. I hope everybody gets the gist of that comment from a 16-year-old girl. I just stare at them, look them right in the eye, let them know they cannot do anything to me now, and they know it now because they are the ones that are looking down. I don't know about you guys, but that gives me more strength. That makes me feel like she's right. I can get that. That makes so much sense to me. So, let me open up the lines. Shelley is with us, and I'm sure she'll have something to say about all of this tonight. And if you're out there and want to join us, please give a call. Hi, Shell.
Hi, Rainey.
How are you?
Very good, very good. Yeah, it was great information. Some of it surprised me, but... you know, and a lot of times these statistics do, but the way you ended it was, like you said, on a very positive note. I think that was wonderful. I think that Bully movie is going to make such a huge difference once it gains popularity and more schools start picking it up and airing it, and not just schools, but functions. It doesn't just have to happen to schools, you know, people picking it up and watching it in their own homes with their kids and things like that. So I think the movie is going to do a great service, and the fact that we talk about it on the show and that we're kind of connected with the people that put that out there, I think is something powerful that you're doing. So I think it's wonderful to be connected with the producers and Gary and all the people involved in that, because I think it's going to make a huge difference.
Well, I think the longer we address something, you know, one of the things that I've always understood, even when I was very young, is to get good at something, you have to do it over and over and over and over and over again. You never do anything totally right the first time, because the more you do it, the more you hone it, the more you hone it and the more you own it, and you make a difference the more often you do it. Yes. So what we're doing now is we're owning this and we're honing it, and we're going to get it to a place that makes sense to more and more people every day. And every time it makes sense to one other person, that's one other person that's on our side and that's going to do things the right way. So it's all positive, really, really positive.
Yep. Well, but I like I said, with it, the statistics that you were reading in the beginning, I mean, based on everything we've talked about, they certainly make a lot of sense. It goes in line with what we were talking about is, you know, why do you have dysfunctional adults? Why do you have adults that still bully or get bullied? And it's because, this is one of the things we're talking about, you don't grow out of those types of personality traits. If you don't deal with it, if you don't heal from it when it's happening, it's not a matter of just maturing out of it. If you're never taught to cope with the situation and gain control of it and gain control of your life, then you grow into an adult that still feels vulnerable, that still feels at risk. And bullying is so demeaning to a person. That's why they can go to suicidal thoughts, because they get that hopelessness. I mean, it's heart-wrenching when you think of the effects of just someone being mean to you or poking you or something, but it has an absolutely, integrally devastating effect on the person's self-esteem. And it, like I said, it gives them a sense of hopelessness. Like, what's the point? If I have to live in this misery, if I have to be vulnerable all the time, and I'm always at risk of being hurt physically and being made fun of, what is the point? Because in that moment, the person who's being bullied doesn't see a way out. They don't see there's an end, an end in the foreseeable future. So that's their life, and they get to the point where they actually make a decision as to whether or not they choose to continue living in that way. You know, and that's where we get some of the tragedies from.
Well, and I think too, there's that. Especially when those kind of things happen to you, and they're supposed to be somebody you're supposed to be friends with, your peers, the kids that you sit beside in school. And sometimes bullying happens like in fifth and sixth grade when you're starting to go into middle school. And maybe you've been in school with those same kids since kindergarten. So maybe you're not best friends, but you still think they're your friends, and then all of a sudden they turn on you. Or if you're being hurt at home by the people that are supposed to love you and protect you,
I can imagine
that feeling of self-worth just kind of like melts right away. Like, God, how can I expect anybody else to care about me if the people that are right here in my life that know me, that are supposed to be taking care of me, are okay with hurting me? Who am I going to find that's going to care about me or love me or take care of me or want to protect me? I can't imagine that not being a part of their feelings.
That's right.
You know, I can't imagine them not thinking, you know, well, I mean, that's like when we read about all the things that moms do to their own kids. And if the child survives, they have to live the rest of their lives thinking, you know, if my own mother didn't care about me, then how can I expect anybody else to care about me? Those are the shattering things that come with that kind of behavior on other people's parts.
Right, and it goes, like you said, it goes right into them being adults they take that that damage to their psyche. You know, it, like I said, it's not something you grow out of. It's something that becomes a part of their personality. So if they're a vulnerable, scared, dysfunctional child, that's the type of adult they're going to be, because they're not gaining any coping mechanisms. They're not healing from what happened to them. So they take that right into their adult life. And then and many of them, that's why they continue being bullied, because they have that persona. It's almost like they put it out there.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Well, in some of the articles that I've read, that is exactly what happens. They almost, you know, get that smell about them, and people recognize the fact that they're, you know, they're open and vulnerable, and they can move in. And that's a sad thing, too. And it's a sad thing when you think about what kind of mindset walks around almost like, you know, like a major predator, and looks for those people that are struggling for whatever the reasons might be. You know, though, that one section that I read in this, that's why I read it again, because it does say that. They say, because they were able to take childhood mental health into account, the researchers are confident that the adult mental struggles are an effect of the bullying, not pre-existing conditions that made them vulnerable to the bullies in the first place.
Right.
That's very important to understand what they're saying there. Very, very important, because we would have the tendency to say, I can hear myself saying it. Well, you know, maybe something happened really early on and it made them really sensitive and it made them this and it made them that. And they're saying that's not true. According to their testing, that's purely not true.
Right.
So,
I think what it is that you just have kids that were timid or shy, targeted by kids that were aggressive and that had their own issues to deal with. And they just saw that these kids weren't going to fight back and chose them as the ones to let their steam off on without realizing the damage they were doing to them, you know. And, you know, it's funny because I watched this show on TV. It's called Once Upon a Time. It's made by the creators of that old show Lost that, like, went on forever. And I never watched Lost, but I understood that the, you know, the storyline always took, like, these major turns. Well, Once Upon a Time does the same thing. But I was watching it the other night, and it made me think of some of the things we discussed, because even though it's fictional, a lot of shows that are based on fiction really are commentaries on society and on things that really do happen with people, even though you have fictional characters and fictional situations. And one of the things that kind of parallels what we talk about is that the villains in this show, and what it is, it's about all the different fairy tale characters, and some of them are evil and some of them are good. You know, it's good against evil. It's a big struggle. But in every single case, what they do in the show is they show present day, and then they always show the history of a particular character. And in every single case, all the villains were at one point really, really good people that were bullies. And it struck me the other night, I'm watching it, because now they just revealed the history of yet another one of the villains. And they go back, you know, like 30 or 40 years earlier when they were a very young person, and that they were mistreated and humiliated and bullied, and then they just snapped and became this, like, this villain, this evil person.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, I mean, how many movies are out there about superheroes and stuff like that? And the villains always had something happen to them that turned them. They used to be decent people, and then something happened to them, and they turned into someone who wasn't decent anymore. You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Because we all have such different personalities, you hurt one person, and knock them right down so that they have nothing left to fight with, and they don't fight. They choose to just sit in a corner someplace and just wither Then you do that to somebody else who's got a very strong personality and isn't going to take that shit anymore, and you get a whole other thing. You get a whole other different result, you know?
Right.
And you're right. You do see that in movies. You see that in real life. You see that in the people you know. I think that, I will say this. At Hippocrates, I knew a lot of stories from a lot of different people that I still hold inside, very personal stories. And I will tell you, some of the people that told me stories that would make me sit with tears streaming down my face are now in a place that is magnificent. They're leaders. They're successful. They're strong. They're, you know, every time I think of some of these people, I just am so impressed, doesn't even say it. I'm blown away by their courage because they went through things that were not just abusive, but horrific. And so you know that we can do it. You know that we, most of us, have got something in us that keeps us fighting. You know, it can sometimes it gets all the way down to nothing but a spark. But if you keep it in there, and you know, understand it, and feel good about the fact that you've got that spark, you can bring yourself back up to anything that you want to be. But you have to believe in yourself, and you have to want to be that person. Otherwise,
you have to understand that there is depravity out there. There are people that have zero respect for life, even their own, and just do absolutely horrific things. Like the story you told the other night as we were closing the show about the two boys that shot the baby. I mean, that sent a shockwave through my. I hadn't heard that story. I was actually sick to my stomach, you know, after the show ended that night, because I just never heard anything like that. It was appalling. It was, you know, absolutely horrific to hear a story like that. But then on the other hand, in any given day, you can hear stories about just incredible courage and incredible generosity and kindness amongst people.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that that's also the reality of who we are. And it's up to each person to decide whether or not they're going to develop the light or the dark in them. We all have both. We all have the ability or the tendency to go either way, and it really can be our choice which direction we want to go, where we want to put our emphasis, and what we want to see. Because you can see it all, and you can get caught up in the depravity and the negativity, or you can realize that there are people out there that are trying to make the world better and join them and try to put out your own efforts to make the world a better place.
That's right. Well, that's how I feel about yin and yang, black and white. And the whole idea is to have an even amount of the black and an even amount of the white and let them join forces so that you're not a pushover, but then you're not, you know, a creep either. You're the happy balance between yin and yang. And by doing that, and by bringing yourself to that place and trying to keep yourself on that place, then you create a balance in your own life that is what it's supposed to be. I think I've got Kelly on. She's been on for a little bit. I'm going to bring her in.
Sure.
Hi, Cal.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm great. I am fantastic. I was just listening to the conversation and everything, and I could relate to all of that.
Yeah.
I can relate to a lot of it. When you said when you get somebody put you down so much or whatever, and you can lift yourself right back up, because that's where I am.
That's right, and that's what it's about, being able to understand that about your own self, you know. It's a very important thing to understand who you are as a person, and a lot of times we get lost, and it's our job to find ourselves again.
I got lost, and I'm not lost anymore. I am so happy. I'm so glad I did what it is I did.
Mm-hmm.
and I have so much support from everybody, and it's an amazing thing. It really is. I felt so low, so cut down, talked down to, like I explained the other night, the verbal abuse, and I'm not taking that anymore. I am now me. My mother said to me today, I'm glad I got my Kelly back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an amazing
mm-hmm.
thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My life is good again.
That's great. That is really great. And, of course, imagine how many people are out there that might be going through something very similar to you. I mean, there's a lot of couples that don't know how to get out of their own way. And it doesn't mean somebody's bad and somebody's good.
Exactly.
It just means that they just can't do it. Mm-hmm.
Don't look for the excuses is what I would like to put out there, like what I did. Don't look for the reasons to try and stay. Well, I got to stay because of this, or I got to stay because of, like, my dog Bella, which I had to
mm-hmm.
leave behind. I got to stay because I don't think that I can make it, or I can't afford it, or whatever. You know what? You're strong. You can do it. It takes a big person to walk away and say, I'm not going to take it anymore. I don't
mm-hmm.
deserve this. I am a human
mm-hmm.
being, and I deserve better.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm going to live for me, and I'm going to be happy for me. You got to put yourself first.
That's right.
First
well,
and foremost.
And understand, like I said, understand that it's not necessarily because somebody is right and somebody's wrong, because I am sure, as we've talked about many times on this show, there's always two sides to every story.
Right.
And if we were to bring in your significant other, I'm sure he would have things to say that that would say, she's not perfect. Well, you're not saying
not
you're perfect.
Nobody's perfect.
Exactly. Exactly.
Nobody is perfect. But
if you can't work at something and make it better, and every day it's worse and worse and worse and more difficult for you to function, then sometimes you just have to say, okay, I tried and it's not working. I have to go. But again, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with who's right or who's wrong.
Absolutely.
Right. It has a lot to do with what's right and what's wrong.
Yep. I don't wish any harm upon him.
I know you don't.
Best. Mm-hmm. I still text back and forth with him, but it's all stuff having to do with the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
When he gets in his nasty texts, I do not reply to them. And that's the best way I can.
That he's going to be hurt for a while. You know he's going to be hurt for a while, and he's going to lash out for a while.
It's all my fault. Everything is my fault.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't put all that blame on him. You know, yes, he is wrong in a lot of areas, but we were both wrong in a lot of areas also. And I came to those terms, but I came also to the terms that I just can't do it anymore. I have to live, and I got to be happy, and that's what I am.
And that's what's important.
I told my mom that today. I said, when I spoke to Rini
mm-hmm.
out there that day at the park, and the words she said to me, I said, Ma, it wasn't just the words. I said, but because you don't listen to your mother like you're supposed to listen to your mother. You think your mother knows it all. But nobody really listens to the mother. But
right.
when you hear it from an outsider and you hear words of wisdom coming from somebody else, you have the tendency to take it in a lot more and listen a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
and
don't you think timing too, Kel, has a lot to do with it?
Sometimes
even the same person can say something to you 100 times, and then one day the time is right.
My mother could have said it though, and I wouldn't have listened to her.
I don't know.
My mother told me today, she's like, I could have told you, you should have done this 25 years ago. I said, Mom, we've been married for 29. She's like,
uh-huh.
I told you 25
uh-huh.
years ago. But mm-hmm. no, you can hear it from certain people, and you get caught up in the routine.
Mm-hmm.
But to hear it from somebody who you're really not that close to, like, I know we know each other, you know, with circumstances and everything, but to hear the words of wisdom come from you, I really listened.
Right.
And that made a really big difference. It really did.
Yeah,
so,
but that day, like I said, it was the right time that day, because you came to something
God
that was
willing. God sent you to me that
day. Yeah, it just was the right time, because you know, it just fell into the right places, and I had a few minutes to talk to you without everybody else hammering at me, or me cooking, or me doing this, or me doing that, and we had that few minutes to talk seriously, and I could see how hurt you were. And that's it. And a big part of life is all about the timing, you know, really all about the timing. And I'm glad that that happened, and I'm glad you're in a much better place. Did you hear?
Oh, my gosh, I would love you to come over and see my place, but you can't tell where I'm at.
Well, I'll do that
next time,
in that neck of the woods.
Yeah, for those who are out there that might be going through the same situation that I am, there is hope. There is.
Yeah,
there is,
well, that's for sure.
You know,
that's for sure.
Yeah, there is hope for people out there.
And
you know
every time
like
we talk about, every time we talk about somebody surviving something that has got them so frightened and so afraid of doing, and they hear about somebody else surviving,
it
gives
if
them more courage.
Might be, they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
That's
perfect.
my youngest son just came in with his girlfriend for dinner.
Okay. Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
enjoy your dinner. Enjoy your dinner. It was wonderful to hear from you. Okay.
Is Shelly on the line?
Yep, she's here.
Yes, I'm back.
Hi, Shelly. My friend Shelly, Shelly and Kelly with the Hummer.
That's it.
Shelly
and Kelly.
You
go.
Yeah.
All right. You have a wonderful evening, and God bless all of you.
Thank you, sweetheart.
You too, Kelly.
Talk to you next time.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All righty.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Well, that's all right. I always see when you get dropped, and I just waited for you to come back in, and you're on your cell phone. Are you driving home?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But every now and then when I lose it, the antenna just doesn't come back. It's like cell phones are so weird lately.
I agree.
I'll be talking to somebody at my house. I'm not even moving. And all of a sudden, the antenna just drops, and I lose the call. They say, stop moving around. I'm perfectly still.
Yeah.
Like, the antenna's going up and down. Good grief. Anyway, I'm okay now.
Good.
Well, at least as far as my cell phone transmission is concerned.
Well, we can't expect miracles, honey. You know,
I know.
Miracles. I think that.
So I missed a lot of what you were just talking about. I apologize. I couldn't even hear the show.
Well, Kelly was just saying that if there's anybody out there, she talked again about the day that I talked to her at the park, and she said my mother could have said those same words to me a million times, and she probably did. But I didn't listen to her. And I said, and you and I have talked before, Cal, because I knew little bits and pieces before. But that day, she showed up at the park. I didn't even know that she was going to come by. I had just finished preparing all the food, so I wasn't in the middle of something. So you know how that goes, because you've been with me many times for things like that.
Yeah.
And I looked at her, and I knew she was in a really bad place. And I hugged her, and I said, what's going on? And she told me, and I said, do it. You can do it. You're much stronger than you think you are. And I said to her today, I said, you know, often it's all about the timing. You know?
Exactly.
It's really about the timing. Yep.
You know, it wasn't so much that you said it and not her mother, that number one, she was ready to act on the words.
Yeah,
and you know, it happens a lot in our lives in all kinds of situations where somebody will give you advice, somebody close to you will give you advice, and you won't act on it, and then somebody that you're not even that close to, or somebody you just met, or somebody will say the exact same thing to you, and you'll act on it, and here your relative or your friend is like, well, Jesus, the same advice I gave you. What they don't
mm-hmm.
understand is that when it's the first time you're hearing a piece of advice, you're not brave enough to act on it. You don't have whatever it takes to jump in and do something. But by the time that other person says it to you or you've heard it 10 times, you've been conditioned. Now it's not such a shock to your system. You've been mulling it over subconsciously without even realizing it. And then all of a sudden one day, it's not such an impossible task and you act on it. So it really isn't sliding the first person who ever told it to you, because if they hadn't said it to you that first time or the second time or the eighth time, you would never have been conditioned to act on it when you heard it the time that you did finally act on it. That's the
yeah.
point. You know,
yeah.
is that everybody, her mother and you collectively, put her in a position where she finally acted on it because she just heard it enough to finally seep into her consciousness and go from her subconscious into her acting mind and do something about it. You know,
yeah, it's what you call that infamous. It's called that infamous click.
Yep, yep. All of a sudden,
you know?
It just makes sense.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know, wow, why did I wait so long? And the funny part about it is because I've been there a few times myself with things. When you finally do act on it, and you get that realization that wow, you just turned your life in a direction that's going to be phenomenal for you. And then you're
mm-hmm.
sitting there going, what was I waiting for? But,
yeah.
but before
yeah.
that moment, you really couldn't have. You weren't there. It wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have worked out the same way, you know. So
well,
we
you know,
we
what's that?
There's
a couple sayings like that. It's all in the timing, and
mm-hmm.
it's true. It's really about being the right time for something to happen, being the right time
mm-hmm.
for something to make sense, being the right time for something to even be able to get inside of you so that it registers. And
right.
I mean, you know, I've spent my life, literally, and you and I have talked about this before, when I meet somebody that I really care about or a family member, somebody that I really, really love and want to have be happy and want to get past all the things that are bothering them. And I search and search for something profound to change everything for them.
Right.
And keep thinking, okay, if I could just come up, you know, I just haven't thought of the right thing to say yet. And you go in search of that, you know, that profound thing that's going to, they're going to look at you and it's going to be the infamous click. And you look for that and you try to find it and you don't. And it's frustrating and it's hurtful, especially when you're really worried about somebody. But the truth
right.
of the matter is, eventually, if you don't ever give up on that, eventually that does happen. I believe that
mm-hmm.
with my heart and soul. Mm-hmm. I believe that you can't give up on the people that you care about, and you can't give up on the things that you know are right, and you can't give up on the things that you know are wrong, because those things need to be changed. So
that's right. That's right. It's like that old cliche, you know, what a difference a day makes. Sometimes
amen.
It's just that, it's just you being supportive and loving
mm-hmm.
and there one more time that finally clicks with that person. And sometimes it's not even the profound thing you said, or it's just
I
the...
know.
It's just your tenacity and your, you know, your persistence and just constantly being there and constantly being consistent with the way you treat them and love them and support them.
Mm-hmm.
That finally,
mm-hmm.
one day, it clicks for them, and,
yeah.
and something inside of them opens up and starts healing. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when I first met you, I had shared with you some things that had happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and. The simplicity of your words is what was profound. You helped me very deeply just by being compassionate, you know, and you know, like I said, I can't think of the specific words, but I remember how the words made me feel.
Mm-hmm.
And they made me feel
mm-hmm.
empowered, and they made me feel whole, and they made me feel that I could be stronger than I was thinking I was. And the reality
mm-hmm.
of it was that that's what I ended up being. But you
mm-hmm.
made me feel that about myself. You made me see that in myself. And that was profound and powerful. But it wasn't
mm-hmm.
the words. It was just the compassion you showed. And it was sincere
yeah.
compassion. That's
yeah.
a gift you have. You know?
Yeah.
And it's,
well,
and so,
that's why I say when I'm searching for something profound, that's it exactly. I mean, because it's not the fact that it's profound. It's that the timing is right and everything falls together and all of a sudden you hear. And all
mm-hmm.
of a sudden it registers and you have the infamous click. That's what I'm saying. It's saying something profound, first of all, doesn't usually happen with me. I'm not a real profound person. But I am a caring person. That's for
yeah,
sure.
It's true.
It's true. And you do, but like I said, it's amusing that I do spend hours trying to think of things to say to people that I know. If I just say the right thing, it'll click.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that in my heart, it just has to be the right moment. And it could be something I've said 50,000 times already. But if it's in the right moment, it'll work. That's why I'm saying you just can't give up.
Right. And the whole thing is that by sharing your life experiences with people, if you're somebody that has experienced certain types of challenges in your life, certain stresses, traumas, or anything like that, and you've survived them and came out on the other side stronger and still happy, that in itself is very inspiring to other people. It's very motivating. It shows
mm-hmm.
them that you can go through certain types of life-altering experiences and be okay. One of the things that had happened to me, I'm not going to go into the details here, but one of the things that happened to me when I was very young was life-threatening, and it affected me for decades, and then I had shared it with you. And
mm-hmm.
years later, without even realizing, because I never felt sorry for myself over the circumstance, I was just very angry that I put myself in a vulnerable position for it to happen to me, but I never felt like a victim, but I was upset that I had come so close to death with this particular situation.
Mm-hmm.
And years
mm-hmm.
later, 30 years later, I was talking to a woman who was the daughter of a friend of mine, and she was suicidal. And she had had a different type of trauma happen to her, but it was also something that she wasn't getting over. And she saw me as an extremely strong, self-confident woman who never had anything bad happen to them in their life. I mean, this is just her impression of me.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed at her house one night, and we talked for like 6 hours until like 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was staying with her. She was in a very, very fragile state, and her mother had asked me to speak to her. And I shared with her this incident that happened to me when I was in my 20s. And she was stunned. First of all, she was stunned that anything like that ever could have happened to me. And
yeah.
she was, and see, knowing that this happened to me, and then seeing me now as such a strong, in control, self-confident person, it instantly clicked for her. Well, if you can be like this now after experiencing that, then there's hope for me.
Mm-hmm.
And from that day forward, she never entertained suicide again. And 2 years later, she got married, and now she has 2 children.
Yeah, yeah.
And
all because you took a few minutes and the time was right.
Right. And so I shared
mm-hmm.
with her something that happened to me. And that's why when we do get over, like Kelly was talking about, when
mm-hmm.
you do rise to the occasion and make a decision to empower yourself and to put your life in a better position and to make things better for you and everybody around you, it is powerful to share that with other people because it lets other people know that just because a challenge happened to you, just because something traumatic happened to you, it doesn't have to change the course of your life. If anything,
right.
it might make you a stronger person. It's going to put
right.
you in a position of appreciating things more. You're not going to take things for granted. So it can have some positive end results if you choose to look at it that way. And again,
mm-hmm.
it's a choice of how we are going to allow things to affect us. And forgiveness
mm-hmm.
is one of the major, major things, including forgiving yourself, because that's one of the things that kept me from healing for about 20 years, I forgave everybody else that was involved in what happened to me, but I never forgave myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that anger
mm-hmm.
towards myself actually kept me in a place where I was kind of vulnerable to the whole situation until I finally let go of that also. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, forgiving others, but also forgiving ourselves is important. If you hold on to bitterness towards yourself or bad thoughts toward yourself, you're going to keep yourself from ever healing from the situation. So forgiveness in its entirety is very important to go through a complete healing.
Well, that's for sure. And you know, that's another one of my favorite old sayings, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when it comes to something being right on, that statement speaks volumes of many people I know, well, some of the people I just mentioned. So
yeah.
it is about how you handle what comes your way and what you make of it. And which, you know, when I say stuff like this, I always think to myself, what about the person that's sitting there listening and thinking to themselves, you know, I haven't done anything. This has been happening to me for the last 30 years, and I haven't done anything. And sometimes you have to kind of assess, too, what is making you, what is hurting you. And
mm-hmm.
like we talked many times about taking some of those feelings, writing a journal, writing a letter to yourself, writing a letter to God, whatever you can do to express yourself, to bring some of those things out so that you can deal with them. Because quite honestly, if something is buried so deep and you don't understand why, when you think about what's wrong with me, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know. Maybe I have the flu or something. I'm just like down in the dumps and I'm this and I'm like, could be something that's in there that you've shoved and swallowed so deep that you no longer even have a memory of it.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
talking to yourself or writing is really good for that and getting it out there. Mm-hmm. And maybe when you first remember it, that will be kind of shocking and hard for you to deal with. But in the end,
right.
it'll be wonderful. Because you can't
yep.
leave it in
yep.
there, you know. It's just like a sliver that gets in your foot, you know.
Yeah.
My younger brother, this I always think of this when I think about feelings, because he jumped or fell or something off a scaffolding when he was maybe 18, working
mm-hmm.
on a house, and he fell. His foot went onto a nail that was in a board.
Ooh,
and
wow.
the nail went in through his sneaker and up into his foot. They took him, got him a tetanus shot, pulled the nail out, all that good stuff. Almost 15 years goes by, and he wakes up one morning, and his foot is so swollen that he can't even stand on it. He
oh
calls
God.
Me. He says, I don't know what's the matter with my foot. I said, maybe you have gout or something. Are you eating a lot of red meat? We talked about all this kind of stuff. He goes, he's working at the hospital then. He goes to the hospital, shows one of the doctors on duty. They take him in an x-ray. The sneaker, when the nail went through his foot, the nail took a piece of the rubber on the sole of his sneaker.
Oh, my God.
And lodged it inside of his foot. And all those years, when you have a foreign object in your body like that, your body goes to cover it and sends tissue
mm-hmm.
to it. And it got so big from it trying, his own body trying to keep it where it was and to keep it covered.
Mm-hmm.
They had to cut open his foot and take that piece of the sneaker out of his foot.
Oh, my God.
So,
all
yeah.
those years, my gosh.
All those years. So imagine that as a feeling, as a
yeah.
as a bad right. trauma, as something that's happened to you somewhere. I mean, it's like you hear all the time people getting hypnotized and remembering something awful and stuff like that. Sometimes it's really hard to bring those things up, those things that have left
yeah.
you with, you know, a damaged soul, if you will, and you don't know why. And it's because
mm-hmm.
you've swallowed and buried it so deep that you know, you can no longer reach it or bring it up into your memory bank.
Mm-hmm.
So writing these journals and talking about stuff like that has happened, and just searching your own soul when you're writing is incredibly therapeutic. And who knows? Maybe you're a dormant writer. Maybe you're a maybe there's something you could write that will save 50 million other people. It surely won't hurt you.
Well, you know what's interesting is that a lot of times when an incident happens that injures somebody, hurts their feelings, upsets them, scares them, whatever, at the time that it happens, it usually has a certain impact on them. But if they don't deal with it, and I've seen this happen with myself, if they don't deal with it, if they don't address it, rationalize it, get rid of it, or whatever, it ends up getting a life of its own. It gets bigger. It becomes
mm-hmm.
worse. It becomes more traumatic. It almost like it gets layers on top of layers, kind of like the analogy you were giving with what happened with the sneaker. It just like a foreign object in the body, it festers and it continues growing and it becomes more injurious over time. It's, you know, people say, oh, well, I'm just going to forget about it, and they shove it back to the back of their mind. But no, it's actually injuring them more because it's building momentum. It's like the proverbial snowball going down the mountain. By the time it gets to the bottom, it's as big as a Volkswagen, you know?
Yes. Yes.
And that's what happens with emotions if we don't deal with them, you know? And, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't mean you have to confront people and you have to wear your heart on a sleeve, but you definitely have to deal with it within your own mind. And you have to rationalize things and put things in perspective. It's helpful to be aware of what's going on in the world around you so that you can put things in proper perspective, appreciate what goes good for you, and use those times to bolster you when things are being challenging. And that's what I mean about putting things in perspective. I see people that have little things go wrong, and they go off the deep end, and they completely ignore some of the good things that have happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes
mm-hmm.
it really is something that's very, very, very traumatic or tragic, you know, and still there is a way of dealing with it without allowing it to injure you if you use the right type of rationalization and coping mechanism. And that's what happens. Or just talking to somebody. Sharing it
mm-hmm.
with one person that you can consider as a confidant so that they can help you to at least release some of that intense negative energy because it is damaging to us.
That's right. Just
Remember,
saying it out loud.
Just saying it out loud, right? And another
yep.
technique, and in fact, we used to, if you remember, we had this at Hippocrates, but I actually know some people that do this. There's something called tapping, and there's books out Roger Callahan who developed it by accident, actually. I actually read his book. It's a fascinating story how he even developed this technique because he did it by accident. But it's based partially on acupuncture and acupressure points because, you know, our bodies have, without getting too technical, our bodies have energy meridians and things like that. But tapping
That's right.
techniques, if people would look for books by Roger Callahan or Gary Craig, who was a student of Roger Callahan. They both have similar techniques. One is called TFT and one is called EFT. And I've actually used it myself at times, and it really is quite effective. It's almost like emotional acupuncture, and it can
mm-hmm.
help people release old emotional pain. Sometimes, and you can actually use it even if you're not aware of specifically what your issue is, you can actually
mm-hmm.
use it just for the feeling without knowing where it's coming from. So it's a very, very useful tool to help people to get rid of some old baggage, especially if they can't put their finger on it and figure out where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and because we're all so bottled up and because we all have day-to-day stuff that we have to handle and everything, sometimes we forget how to have fun and how to laugh and do things like
mm-hmm.
that. On that note, I told a little joke last night. I went out and told Spike the joke. He laughed, and then he said, did I tell you about the psychiatrist? This
okay.
guy walks in, and he says, doctor, he says, my friend out there thinks he's invisible. And the doctor said, I can't see him right now.
Very good. Okay, that's great. I like that.
Yeah, that was a good one. I thought it was a good one, too. So on that note, I want to say good night to everybody. Thank you for being a part of our show tonight. Thank you, Miss Shelley. Thank you, Kelly, wherever you are, and any of you that are listening tonight. God bless all of you. And from my heart to yours, I'll talk to you tomorrow night. Good night.
Good night, Renee.
Good night, Shel. Mm-hmm.